Wait. Before we start, just want to make sure we're clear here. While this podcast talks about sobriety, mental health, and addiction, it is not meant to replace professional medical advice. Welcome to Sisters in Sobriety.
I'm Kathleen.
And I'm Sonia.
And we're ex-sisters-in-law, brought together in marriage and bonded through our sobriety journey.
Join us as we talk sobriety, addiction, and everything in between. You're in for quite a ride. And our Substack is buzzing with amazing content, from creative mocktail recipes to insightful courses and reflective exercises. There is something for everyone. Don't miss out. It's a great way to add some extra joy and depth to your journey. Check it out. Welcome to Sisters in Sobriety. Today, we are thrilled to have a very special guest with us, Derek Santiago, also known as the Mocktail Whiz. Derek is a pioneer in the world of non-alcoholic beverages, and he brings such a creativity and passion to the art of mocktail making.
With his extensive knowledge and innovative approach, Derek has inspired many to explore the delicious and diverse possibilities of alcohol-free cocktails. His latest creation, the Make It a Mocktail Recipe Deck, showcases his dedication to the craft and his desire to share it with the world. We are so excited to dive into his journey, learn more about his new recipe deck, and explore the fascinating world of mocktails. Welcome, Derek.
Yay, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Excited. Oh, you're welcome. Excited to have you here. So can you tell us a little bit about your journey to being alcohol free?
Yeah, for sure. So I grew up in the Philippines, mm-hmm. born and raised there. And in 2013, I was given the opportunity to move to the US for work. It was the same company that I was working for in the Philippines. And in terms of alcohol, it wasn't really a big part of my life growing up. Mm-hmm. There was no alcohol in our house. My mom didn't really drink. And my dad worked abroad for most of my life. And so he worked in Saudi Arabia. And he would only come home every 2 years for about a month. And that's when I would see some drinking at home. Because, you know, he comes home, all of his friends will be visiting our house. And that I just remember my mom's rule is no drinking inside the house. So if you guys want to do it outside. So they would literally be in our front yard doing the drinking there. But it wasn't really a big thing. You know, that happened maybe a month every 2 years. My uncles drank, but it wasn't really a big part of my life compared to what we see in the movies growing up in the provinces in the Philippines. Like, we don't have a similar experience where, you know, there are parties mm-hmm. In high school, and this is when you drink. I didn't have that experience, even though I would say that's more relaxed in the Philippines. Like, nobody would question if you, you know, buy alcohol underage. Like, I don't think we even ID'd people there. But it was just not a big part of my life. But I moved to the US for the job that I was offered. And suddenly I was in a lot of happy hours. And I am an introvert. I dreaded those happy hours. And also, coming from a different country, there's a lot of cultural references that I don't get. I still don't get some of them, but I'm working on those. Like, we're watching a lot of cultural references, movies. But yeah, so I just dreaded those happy hours. And, you know, it's all centered around drinking. Whereas mm-hmm. in the Philippines, I think most of our happy hours were, like, at least the ones that I've been to are more karaoke-centric. So we're focused on the singing and what song to sing that would impress the people. There's some drinking, but it, like I said, maybe because I wasn't seeking it, it wasn't, you know, front, like, top of mind for me. I always tell this story because I think it's funny, because when my first happy hour, it was somewhere in San Diego, and it was this nice area. I think it was like a resort kind of thing. It was my first ever. I think it was my second week in America. And they asked me what I wanted to drink, and I didn't know what to order. Mm-hmm. So in a panic, I said champagne, and they all laughed. And they were like, "What, are we in a wedding?" But I didn't know. So I had my champagne. But I'm a type of person who researches. And so I was like, I'm going to research what to drink in a happy hour. And I'm going to be practicing and get better at it. And so that's what I did. I trained for happy hours. But it was still not a big part of my life back then. So I would just drink to kind of calm the nerves and to fit in those happy hours. But one use for alcohol that I discovered maybe a year in was that I can use it to go to sleep. Oh. I was assigned to a project that I think my role was two levels above what I was currently at the time. And it was very high stress. I work in consulting and I do project management for cloud application implementations. And it was just so stressful that I couldn't sleep most nights. And so I found out that once I had three glasses of wine, maybe two, I go straight to sleep. And so that's, I think, when I started using alcohol for something, and that's for sleeping. But still, it was fine at that point.
And so when did it shift to not being fine?
Great question. I think I was successful in moderating my drinking mm-hmm. until I lost my mom in 2020. Mm. And that's when things changed for me. Suddenly, the moderation became hard. And I was really struggling with that because I thought, and it's silly now, but I thought I deserved drinking because, you know, everybody else started moving on with their lives. And meanwhile, I'm still stuck with my grief. And mm-hmm. like, I even thought about quitting my high stress job because I'm like, what's the point? I worked mainly to support my mom's hospitalization bills and things like that. So she was really central in my life and my family's life. And so losing her was a big blow. And so for a couple of years, I thought, I deserve this. So that's when the moderation became harder. And then in April 2021, not even a full year after my mom passed away, my dad passed away. And
oh my
so
goodness.
It was just, you know, compounding grief. Mm-hmm. And even more so, I drank more because like, what the hell is happening? So yeah, kept doing that, attempted to still moderate. And yeah. This is when I started adding rules, like only the weekend, like drinking mm-hmm. only the weekends and only after five. And then later on, it's like, oh, but Tuesday's date night. So I'm allowed to drink on mm-hmm. Tuesdays too, and up to three drinks every time I drink. And then later on, the three drinks became heavier and heavier pours. Okay. So if I'm being honest, the three became like six more like. And that's when it just, I think, got unmanageable. There were no wreckage, nothing mm-hmm. like that. I was still performing at my job. So I thought that this is fine. Like mm-hmm. everything is fine because, you know, I still have my house, I still have my relationships, I still have my job. So, and I deserve this, I thought. So I kept drinking. And then the days or months leading up to the death anniversary, I was closer to my mom. So every time June 4th was about to come, mm-hmm. that's when I would drink more. And then it starts really Mother's Day because okay. everybody's celebrating mothers. And then I don't have my mother anymore. And usually, my mom's birthday is around Mother's Day too. So May is when it starts. And then it just gets worse through the beginning of June. And that's when I would drink a lot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so at what point, Derek, did you decide that this was no longer the path for you?
It was June 6, 2022. Mm. So it was 2 days after my mom's death anniversary. Her death anniversary landed on a Saturday, and then Sunday was still a weekend, so I still drank. And then Monday came, and I really decided that something needs to change because I don't feel good anymore physically. I felt heavier. Mentally, I felt slower, and I was just depressed, I think. And it's a cycle, right? You feel depressed, and you drink more and then you yeah. become even more depressed. So it was like a cycle that was hard to break. But Monday, June 6th, I thought, you know what, let's just go back to moderating. And I picked up the book, This Naked Mind by Annie Grace. I had a physical book, which interestingly, I bought earlier in 2022, but didn't read. Okay. And then in June, I downloaded the audiobook version and I listened to it. And I was, you know how sometimes you hate watch a show? Yeah. So I would say I was hate listening to it because she was saying all the truth that I didn't want to hear. But the thing is, I identified with her story. You know, I have friends in 12-step programs and I've been to a lot of 12-step meetings and I have good experiences as a visitor. I find their stories inspiring, but the thing is, they're not my story. Like, I didn't identify with the stories that I was hearing, but with Annie Grace, her story was very similar to mine, you know, working in the corporate world, waking up at 3 o'clock, and that's the time when we're really honest about our drinking, but then you wake up in the morning and it seems like nothing happened, and then 5 p.m. hits, and then, yeah, I'm going to drink again. So I just resonated and identified with her story. So that's when I decided, you know, I'm going to give this a shot. And yeah, so one day became 7 days. And then from there, I'm like, let's do 14 days. And then, oh, how about 30 days? So I just kept going from there. And somewhere along the way, I created my first mocktail. And I thought, hey, this scratches the itch somehow. And so, and I have always been fascinated with mixology, with alcohol before. And so I thought, oh, why not use that skill to come up with good mocktails that would help surf the urge and scratch that itch for me. And so that's when I started playing with mocktails. And then about a month after, I started posting on Instagram. And that's when I started Mocktail Wiz.
Wow. So how did you become the Mocktail Wiz? Was it just your personal Instagram account and you were posting recipes? And then all of a sudden you're like, I'm going to brand this the Mocktail
Wiz.
Yeah.
I started with just my personal account. And my personal account is private, so it didn't really get any attention from my drinky friends and my normal friends on Instagram. So I, for a brief moment, I opened my private account to public. And once I did that and posted a couple more recipes, it got a lot of attention, like thousands of views, hundreds of likes. And I thought, oh, there's an interest in this. And I had so many recipes in my head that I just wanted to share them, not for anything, not looking for anything in return, but just because I think I was in a pink cloud at that point. Mm-hmm. So that's when I created Mocktail Wiz as a separate account so that I can make my private account private again. And also so to not annoy my friends who don't care about not drinking, because so that's when I started Mocktail Wiz, and that was in July of 2022.
Wow. So when you talk about how you started drinking, it was for social reasons and happy hours. So when you go out now, what do you order? What is your go-to non-alcoholic drink to order?
Yeah, hopefully they would have some options that are mocktails or non-alcoholic cocktails. Where I live, it's not very common yet. So if there's nothing on the menu, I would just pick the most, like from the cocktail list, just choose something that I think would still sound or taste good without the alcohol. And usually that's some sort of spicy margarita. I think that's like a good choice if they have it, because the heat from the jalapeno or the tajin rim, that's good enough. And it comes in a nice glass too with garnish. I would do spicy pineapple margarita or spicy margarita. If they don't have that, a virgin mojito is also good because it tastes fresh and it looks like a real drink. So yeah, those are my two go-tos if they don't have options. But if they have options, and sometimes I'm at a point in my sobriety where I don't need mocktails all the time every day anymore, because I feel like the work is done. Like I don't need alcohol, and I'm confident in my sobriety that, you know, when I go out, sometimes I don't feel like water is fine. I later realized that the adult drink is water. That's what we need. But if they have options, especially if they have non-alcoholic cocktail options with spirit alternatives, I make sure to order it just to let them know that there's demand for this. And because that's how these options stay in the menu, is when people order it. So that's what I do.
Wow. So you can go to the bar, just to let people know, and you can order a spicy margarita without the tequila.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. And it's going to be delicious most of the time.
I love that. And so I know you just said you don't always need to have a mocktail. And I know I get that question a lot, that is a mocktail just replacing alcohol? Is it just replacing that ritual? And so I always say, well, that's better than drinking. But how did you see it when you started saying to yourself, okay, you know what, I don't need to have a mocktail every night?
Yeah, I think with the book that I read, This Naked Mind, it really made me not want alcohol anymore. So from the get-go, I knew that alcohol is bad for me and it doesn't do anything good in my body. Like the buzz, that the happy feeling, that's true, but it only lasts 20 minutes and maximum, you know, and then the more you drink, you don't quite get that first hit anymore. So once I found out about that, the appeal of alcohol kind of lost its grip on me. But the thing is, the habit and the wanting to feel included, those are the things that I was trying to combat, and those are the things that I used mocktails for. Like, just the habit of, oh, having a fancy little beverage on a Friday at 5 p.m. Like, I don't need the alcohol anymore. I don't want it, but it's just that this habit of, you know, having some nice drink. Or if I'm at a happy hour and I don't want to answer questions, you know, why are you not drinking? Or are you still doing that no drinking thing? Yeah. I would just get a mocktail, and so that as soon as they see something on my hand, they don't ask questions anymore. So really, the mocktails, and I always say this, that they can be for everyone. I know it's not for everyone. There are groups of people who get triggered by mocktails, especially those that taste like the real thing. So I guess it's a very individual choice. From my end, I didn't want the alcohol anymore, so I feel like I was more free from the trigger. I was just trying to be invisible during happy hours and not get asked questions, or, you know, just replacing that habit. And in the beginning, during the first couple of weeks, that was what I was using alcohol for. I wasn't replacing it for the effect of the drinking. I was just trying to replace the habit, because a habit is hard to break. It takes practice. And so when you feel the urge at 5 p.m., that's because you've built that habit. And so I just replaced that in the beginning with, oh, time for a mocktail. And then the more distance I had between me and alcohol, is the less of a habit it became, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And so it's interesting. So Derek and I met at a alcohol-free event. And so a year and a half ago. But Derek, in the time that you've been making mocktails, have you seen that culture change around social drinking and people swapping out non-alcoholic beverages?
Yeah, actually, a lot of people who consume mocktails still drink alcohol. That's what I found. And I think there's really a movement, and they're using mocktails as a form of to moderate. I've heard of the term used, zebra striping. So where this is where you maybe start with a mocktail and then drink a cocktail and then switch to a mocktail again to kind of pace yourself, you know, so that you're still in the social situation. Like, you can still have a little buzz, but you're kind of like controlling it by using mocktails as kind of like a supplement that won't get you buzzed. And then in terms of social situations, I've also noticed that a lot of people are more open to saying that they don't drink anymore. Like, just in my project, I know two people, when I said that I don't drink, they opened up that, oh, I also don't drink anymore. So I feel like it's becoming like a cool thing almost, or a decision that's not going to be challenged. I'm not saying that that's the case everywhere. I still have people who would be challenging like why I'm not drinking, as if it's my choice for them. And when it's literally my choice for myself. But you'll still have that. But I feel like people are more open to other people not drinking. And actually, one story that I like to share is we had a sales event where we were hosting a lot of clients. It was a big event for my market. And so I was there, and they all know that I wasn't drinking anymore. So I ordered a mocktail in the beginning before we went up to the venue. And people were like, oh, Derek, I thought you were not drinking. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is a mocktail. And they were like, oh, my gosh, that looks so good. So at least 8 people ordered the same drink because they said, oh, yeah, we want to be in our A game. We want to be fully present as we host our clients. So this is a good idea to start with mocktails. And so I think that there's more openness to it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I've seen that change since, you know, I started.
So Derek, this is so interesting, this story that just shared about people trying the mocktail before the sales event, being like, yeah, that's a good idea. What do you think are some misconceptions about mocktails?
That's a great question. I think a lot of people get turned off by mocktails because they think it's just boring, or like it's just a bunch of juices. And that's kind of why I started my account, is to show you that you can still have fun, delicious, and complex drinks without the alcohol that can sometimes stand up to a real cocktail. Because mocktails, and I think it's like the term has had a bad rap of just a combination of juices. But in this day and age, we have a lot of spirit alternatives and a lot of new elixirs that are non-alcoholic that can give you that same complexity that you can get from a cocktail. I guess the first misconception is that mocktails are boring and it's just a bunch of juices, or it's like Shirley Temple, which is just sweet. I think that's no longer true. And so, yeah, I've also bartended in community events where I'm exclusively serving mocktails, and people sometimes are just not aware of them. And so when you explain what they are and they taste it, they're like, I've never had this before. This is really good. So I think that's one of the main misconceptions, is this just sweet, or it's just juices, or it's boring.
Yeah. For sure. I think I've been opened up to so many new mocktails recently. And like one of my favorites is quite bitter. And I know one of Sonia's favorites tastes like an old boot. So not sweet at all.
Oh my God. Do you want to know where I discovered that one where I met Derek, and it is the Parch.
Yeah.
I think it's either like the spicy Pinarita.
Pinarita.
And the one that's smoky. It's the one
that's smoky a spicy one. Pinarita.
Sonia let me test that one, I guess, like after she had come back from the event. And I was like, this tastes like a boot. Like I drank it all night. An old leather boot.
I drank that all night.
I liked it too.
Right? I liked it too.
I like that one too. But yeah, that's the thing too. It's a matter of preference. And this is why in my Instagram, I just want it to be a positive space. So I just keep it nice and
Kathleen. Not...
So like you wouldn't welcome my comment about
that's welcome comment. But I always say that it's a preference, because sometimes I would like one thing and then other people just in their palate, it's not. And I'll give you an example. So they always ask me from my book, The Mocktail Club, what's your favorite mocktail from there. And I always say the Fiery Squad, because it has ginger syrup, it has bitters, it has non-alcoholic tequila and lime. So it's kind of like a bigger, like an older cousin of a margarita that's more mature. So I love that recipe a lot. And so in my events, I would always serve it, but people don't usually like it because they, to some it's too strong, like the taste is too strong, and some gravitate towards the more floral and nicer flavors. And so it's just a matter of preference, so there's no wrong answers, although there are still some, you know, mocktails that are pretty bad, especially if it's from a bar that they don't really have a good bar program. And it's like, the worst was I was in a hotel in Carlsbad and I said, can I just have a virgin margarita, please? And I was told, I'll just give you a lemonade. It's the same thing.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, sir, I didn't say anything, but
sir, that is incorrect.
That is so incorrect. There's no lemon in margarita. It's lime. So just that first point, I didn't say anything, but I just said, okay, I'll have one.
That's frustrating. So Derek, if we take a little detour into making mocktails, can you help us set up a mocktail bar? So what are some key tools and like equipment that every mocktail enthusiast should have?
I think you should have a shaker first in terms of tools. So that could be a Boston shaker. Those are the two tin that kind of locks together. Or for home use, a cobbler shaker is fine too. A cobbler shaker is the one with like a glass and then a cap and then a lid. So it's like three in one. You have the mixing glass and the strainer built into it. So that's what I recommend for home use, is a shaker. But if you don't have access to that, a mason jar with a lid also works.
Did you know your actual age might not be the same as your biological age? That's right. It's not just about your birth date. Your body could be older or younger than you think. That's where True Diagnostic comes in. With their True Age test, you can discover your true biological age, plus get insights into things like your risk for heart disease, Alzheimer's, and even early mortality. And the best part, it's all done from the comfort of your own home. No prescriptions, no lab visits, just a simple test sent right to your door. By tracking your biological age, you can actually see how the changes you make, whether it's to your exercise, diet, or sleep, affect your health over time. It's about taking actionable steps to improve your well-being. Oh, and if you're wondering about high-profile people taking it seriously, Brian Johnson, the guy who's working on reversing aging, and I watched his documentary on Netflix, uses True Diagnostic to track his progress. Ready to find out your biological age? Right now, our listeners can get 20% off their entire order at truediagnostic.com by using the code CIS2025 at checkout. That's True Diagnostic, TRUDIAGNOSTIC.com. Just use the code SIS2025 to save 20%. Plus, if you subscribe, you'll get an additional 20% off the 50% discount. Discover your true age today.
And you can drink straight from it too. So, you know, it doesn't have to be fancy. So I would have some form of a shaker. Could be a cobbler shaker or a mason jar with a lid, and a form of like a measuring thing. So a jigger is what I recommend. There are different kinds. Or if you don't have access to that, you probably have like a Las Vegas shot glass souvenir that can work too. So we want to keep it very simple. And then once you get familiar and used to that, then you can upgrade to the more the fancier tools.
It's so funny. I threw out so much of that stuff when I got sober. And now I find myself like, I just bought a muddler. And it's
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, I'm like re-establishing some of those tools.
Are you looking to reset your relationship with alcohol? Look no further than our self-paced 7-day reset program. In just 1 week, you'll gain the tools and support you need to kickstart your journey to a healthier, more balanced lifestyle. Our program includes daily audio, helpful exercises, and guided reflections. And best of all, it's on your time. Head over to sistersinsobriety.substack.com and let's take that first step together towards a better you.
What do you think, Derek, are the most versatile mixers that would work in mocktails?
ginger beer.
I
would say ginger beer.
I love ginger.
There's that heat from the ginger. It's also sweet already, and there's the carbonation too. So it hits a lot of the, you know, texture. You have carbonation, and then there's that sweet factor. So you already have a sweetening agent. And then the heat also, or the spice, kind of helps mimic the burn of alcohol. So you can be, it can be as simple as whiskey alternative and ginger beer, or tequila and ginger beer, you know. So I think that's the simplest, most accessible mixer that you can get.
I think that's a good one. I recently had a virgin Moscow Mule, like, in the copper cup, and it was amazing. It was so good.
Yeah, I actually have in my deck, I have a Jalisco Mule with tequila alternative, and I added a couple slices of jalapeno in there too to really spice it up, and then ginger beer.
You like the spice, Derek. You are like, you are into the spice.
Yeah, in my mocktails, I do. In food, not so much. But in the mocktails, I like it because you feel the heat coming down your throat and kind of like it's reminiscent of alcohol. But yeah, that's a good point. I like my mocktails to have something of an oomph in it, like either a spicy aspect or bitter. Because if it's just sweet and delightful, you probably just take a shot of the whole thing. So I want to enjoy my mocktails a little slower as I'm having conversations or having dinner. So yeah.
Derek, is the Fever Tree the ginger beer that you use?
I use Fever Tree. That's really good, the premium ginger beer. I actually used that just last weekend. And then Q Mixers is also good. Okay. So those two are good ginger beer because they're really bold and spicy.
Okay, so that you love the spicy and the smoky. What is another ingredient that you think everybody really enjoys in a mocktail?
That's a great question. The first thing that came to mind is lavender. And this is just coming from the events that I've bartended where I'm serving my mocktails, and I always have four options. The fiery squad that I like so much that not a lot of people like. That's one. I always serve a rum punch and a lavender grapefruit cooler. And the lavender grapefruit cooler is just gin alternative, lavender syrup, grapefruit juice, and lemon juice. And that's always the most popular. And so I think a lot of people like lavender, unless they're allergic. I've also encountered people who are allergic from lavender. So, but yeah, lavender syrup, it's very versatile. You can buy it. It also adds a nice color to it. You can do a lavender margarita with just 2 ounces of tequila alternative, 1 ounce of lavender syrup, and 1 ounce of lime juice. And you have a simple lavender marg.
So you've mentioned, Derek, a couple of like substitutes for, you know, you've mentioned a tequila substitute. I think in that the lavender one is a gin substitute, did you say?
I mix it with gin substitute.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the best non-alcoholic substitutes that you've come across?
There's a lot of brands, and also within each brand, they have different spirit alternatives. And so some really have one, at least one that's really, really good. So what started it all for me was Ritual Tequila, Ritual Zero Proof Tequila. But now my favorite from the Ritual line is the rum alternative. So that's, if you ask me what my favorite rum alternative is, it's the one from Ritual because it tastes like alcohol. So if you're into that, I would highly recommend it. It has flavors of vanilla and like baking spices. So it's really good in tiki drinks. And so just that rum alternative with pineapple juice and lime juice, you have like a, you know, some sort of a tropical drink. Free Spirits Tequila is really, really good. They reformulated it and now it tastes like the real thing. So Free Spirits Tequila, I highly, highly recommend. from Liars, I really like the Italian orange, which is like their Campari. And then they also have an Italian Spritz, which is kind of like an Aperol. Mm-hmm. And those two are my favorite from the Liars line.
What's your favorite gin alternative? Because I used to be a gin drinker. I'm not anymore, but I love gin and tonic.
I would say that my favorite gin alternative is Monday gin. I think so far that's the gin alternative that's most juniper forward. So juniper is that flavor that kind of makes gin, like the mm-hmm. woody, piney flavor. And I found that Monday gin is the most juniper forward option. Although Ritual and Free Spirits gin are also good, and they're also accessible because you can get those from like Total Wine.
Okay.
But I would say Monday is my favorite gin alternative.
I also liked Cedars. I think they have a gin alternative.
I haven't tried that.
Okay, so Derek, I am obsessed with mocktails, and so people will come over and I do a lot of the pre-made mocktails. I'll be mm-hmm, like, try mm-hmm. this sangria or try this mojito. And mm-hmm. always someone turns the can over and is like, there's so much sugar in this. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? I'm like, well, at least it's not alcohol. But mm-hmm. I'm going to start making more of my own mocktails. Can you suggest some low sugar or like sugar-free alternatives for common ingredients like juices and like syrups?
Yeah. So there's monk fruit sweetener mm-hmm. That are available in grocery stores and online. So you can make simple syrup with monk fruit sweetener. So you'll have like a zero sugar syrup. So it's usually just equal parts monk fruit sweetener and water, and you just let that dissolve over fire. And so you'll have a zero sugar sweetener, and or monk fruit drops too. They have those. And so those, that in terms of like very, very low sugar, that's what I use. But if you don't have access to that, even just regular simple syrup, since if you're making the mocktail at home, you can control how much you put in it. So yeah, last time we had a Cinco de Mayo, I think it was 2023. I had some friends over who are all alcohol free, and we just had a margarita bar where I have a zero proof tequila, and then I have different syrups, so that it's because a margarita is just, you know, tequila, some syrup, and some lime juice. So I had like prickly pear syrup, strawberry syrup, lavender, and so you can make blood orange syrup, so you can make your own margarita. But then there was one guy who is keto, I think is his dietary restriction, and so he didn't do sugar, but I had monk fruit drops. I mixed tequila alternatives and monk fruit drops and fresh lime juice, and he was happy with it. So yeah, it can be very flexible.
Derek, what are some unusual ingredients that you've used in a mocktail, or what are like some of the most unusual ones that you've come across?
That's a great question. The first thing that came to mind is a recipe in my new mocktail mm-hmm. recipe deck. Because I wanted to have more options for people who don't have access to spirit alternatives. Mm-hmm. So I was playing with tea and oversteeping them to get a lot of flavor and use that as base for my mocktail. So I have a couple of recipes in the deck. One is a barley sour. So what I did was I took barley tea and steeped it longer, so that it's more bitter and you can get more of the flavor and color. And then I used that as a whiskey alternative and created a whiskey sour. So I really like that one. But I think I'm most proud of the spicy Earl Garita that I did. So it's Earl Grey tea. Earl Grey tea that I steeped longer. And then I used that as my tequila base. And then I added jalapeno, just a couple slices, and some agave syrup and lime juice. And it turned out to be delicious. Like, I was so happy when I was, this was using during my recipe development phase for the deck. And I tried it. I had the idea. I wrote it down. But after I tried it, I was so proud of it. I took a selfie with the drink, which is silly, but I'm like, It's yeah, it was delicious. I like it.
Oh, that's amazing. So, okay. So you obviously are really considerate of the ingredients that are going in and the flavors. What about presentation? How important is presentation to a mocktail? And what are some of your favorite mocktail presentation ideas?
That's great, because I think for us to have the complete experience, mm-hmm. presentation is key. And that includes the glass that you're serving it in, the type of ice that you use, and then the garnish. So from a garnish perspective, I always use garnishes that are related to mm-hmm. the ingredients that I have on the drink. So you can be very creative. A lot of cocktails have a citrus component to it. So you can be creative with the peel of a lemon or peel of an orange to make fun shapes and then sit them on top of the rim. Or if we're being practical, citrus can be very expensive. Like, I was just at a grocery store last week and lime is 49 cents each and they're tiny. And so this is why, even though I always recommend using fresh lime juice or fresh citrus juice, I'm not above the bottled ones just because I know how expensive they can be. But in terms of garnish, let's say you have your precious lime that are getting old, you can dehydrate them. So I don't have a dehydrator, is that what they call it? But mm-hmm. I just put them in like low heat in the oven for a few hours so that it dries up. And then I put them in a jar, and I don't know if you have a video aspect, but I have some
some
dehydrated citrus, and I put in a nice jar. It's nice decoration too, but I like that they last a long time. And so even if I don't have fresh citrus anymore, I can just pop this over a mocktail and it looks elevated. You can even sometimes use like a tiny clothespin and clip it to your glass, and it looks like an elevated mocktail.
I love that. Derek, I'm so excited to talk about your deck and your book. Mm-hmm. And can you just tell us a little bit more about what people can expect from it?
Yeah, so my goal in both the Mocktail Club and Make It a Mocktail Recipe Deck is to make it as easy as possible. So I made sure that because I know that spirit alternatives can be expensive. Mm-hmm. So my goal is, if you just have one, let's say you were gifted a gin alternative, that you'll find at least a dozen recipes for that, just that alternative. As much as possible, or actually I didn't at all mix two different spirit alternatives together, just because I know that that can be expensive. So both the Mocktail Club and Make It a Mocktail Recipe Deck, you only need one spirit alternative at a time. And then the rest of the ingredients you can find from your grocery store. So I didn't use any hard to find ingredients, because we've all had a recipe book in the mm-hmm. past where there you need a unicorn tear or something from mm-hmm. the Amazon. So I made sure that the ingredients are easy to find, and then you can have a lot of fun just with, you know, one spirit alternative. Or in both the book and the deck, there is a section where you don't need any spirit alternatives. And like I mentioned earlier, it can be tea that you already have, like mm-hmm. Earl Grey tea or barley tea or something like that.
How do the deck and the book go together?
There is an overlap. So there are recipes from the book that you will see in the recipe deck. In the recipe deck, I created 20 new recipes there. And so some of the recipes are coming from the Mocktail Club. So the Mocktail Club has 75 recipes. And then the Make It a Mocktail Recipe Deck has 50 recipes. So yeah, it's good. You can get just one or the other or both. Either of them or both of them will look really good in your bar cart. So I hope you check it out.
That's amazing. I'm really curious, what's the process like for developing recipes? What was it like to do that for your book and your deck?
Yeah, that's a great question. I actually still have a day job. And yeah. I say still as if I'm leaving it. No, I'm not leaving my day job. It pays the bills. So when I was writing the book, I would be still doing my day job. And then, you know, inspiration strikes at the most interesting time. Sometimes I'm in a meeting and I would just, oh, strawberry and guava, that sounds like a good combination. So I would write that down in my notes in my phone. And then, so I would just keep writing these ideas as I encounter them, or out grocery shopping. And you know what? I was doing kickboxing while I was doing both the projects, and the ideas come to me when I'm during my sessions. And it's so funny because you need to pay attention to the combination that's being taught to you. And sometimes I would just zone out because I'm thinking of ideas of recipes. So anytime I would get the idea, I would write it down on my notes. And then because I have a day job, I only am able to do the testing on the weekend. So I do all my recipe testing and development on the weekend itself, and then adjust from there.
Amazing. So are you like putting things together, then writing them down, trying again, like doing different? Okay, yeah. Nice.
Yeah, I already have a rough idea of all the ingredients that would go into a drink. And then I would just play with the proportion. So like, oh, that's a little too sweet, so maybe tone it down a little bit. And then, oh, what if I add this? So that's what I do during the weekends.
Nice. And do you have people testing them for you?
Yeah, I have my family doing the testing. There's actually a funny story. One of my friends asked why there's no Bloody Mary in the mocktail club. And I told her that's because I didn't really drink much of that before. And so when I was given the second opportunity to write the deck, I made sure to include a Bloody Mary. And so I think I just had a sip of it before, but it was too long ago that I don't remember it anymore. So I tried to make my own version of it. I mixed up two different versions, one with fresh tomato juice that I juiced myself, and one with canned tomato juice, which is what is usually used. And then in both versions, I added some fresh cucumber juice to make it more fresh. And then my mother-in-law, she loves Bloody Marys, or at least have had it more recently than I did. So I gave her a blind test of which one do you like? So she liked the one in the canned tomato juice because it's more consistent flavor and it's more robust. Because if you just juice fresh tomatoes, it depends on the tomatoes that you'll get. Sometimes they're not too red yet. So yeah, so I do have some friends and family as my testers.
Nice. That's amazing.
And Derek, can you share with us your favorite recipe from either the book or deck?
Yeah, I would have to say the Fiery Squad, which is, it's a play on a cocktail called Mexican Firing Squad, which has tequila, aromatic bitters, grenadine, and lime juice. But in my version, I split the grenadine. Grenadine is usually pomegranate juice, basically, or pomegranate, the fruit made into a syrup. So in my version, I added ginger syrup to make it a little more spicy. So that's my favorite because it tastes like a real cocktail. Recently, I've been loving my rum punch, which is available. I think they're in both of the book and the deck. I call it, it's called Holiday Punch in the book because it was one of those seasonal ones. Mm-hmm. But it's basically the rum. I use ritual rum with cranberry juice and ginger beer and some simple syrup. Because of, it's kind of like reminiscent of the holidays because of the cranberry and ginger. So those two are probably my favorite.
Maybe we'll make that one at Christmas.
Yeah.
Derek, can you share any upcoming trends that are going on in the mocktail world that you're really excited about?
Yeah, so I think there are now a lot more options than when I started 2 years ago. And I'm excited to see that there's a lot of brands that are coming up with their own and beverages, and they're not copying. It's not a replacement for an existing alcoholic drink. So there are the analogs, is what we call them, that are, this is a tequila alternative or this is a gin alternative. But there are also a lot more of the original ones who that are not trying to mimic a taste of alcohol, but it's their own thing. An example would be Tennyson. They're a brand. It's like a black ginger type of spirit. It's not alcoholic. It's very, very good. It has ginger flavors in it. Yeah, so there's a lot of these original expressions, if you may, that are not copying alcohol. Another one is, to be honest, is that that's the name of the beverage, and it's kind of tastes like gin, and you can use it as gin, but it's not really a gin alternative. But if you like the juniper flavor, yeah, to be honest beverage, I would encourage you to check them out because they have really nice tasting spirits over there.
What's next for you in the mocktail whiz, Derek? What's coming up?
That's a great question. So now I have the two products. So I'm enjoying just seeing people tag me when they buy the book and the deck. And that makes me so happy because even at this point, it's August and the first one came out in January. I still can't believe that this is happening. Who would have thought that just with my decision to stop drinking, that all this will come? If you had told me 2 years ago that, oh, you'll have a book and a deck in your future if you stop drinking, I would probably have laughed and continued drinking. But so I'm just enjoying the people tagging me on their pictures with the book and the deck. What I'm working on right now is I'm trying to be more consistent again with my Instagram because I kind of took a backseat when I was working on the projects. And so now I'm doing a series, an Instagram series where I share Filipino flavors through my mocktails. And that excites me because for a time I was burned out and I wasn't doing a lot of content. But when I had this idea of, hey, why don't I showcase flavors from my home country for awareness? And also, I think there's a lot of good flavors that are that I grew up with to share. That excited me again. So that's, I'm doing that right now. I'm doing a Filipino flavors mocktail series. So yeah, I'm excited about that.
That's exciting. And your Instagram's so beautiful, Derek. I love the photos of the mocktails. It's so
good.
Thank
you.
It makes me want to drink them all.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And when you're done with the Filipino series, if you're interested, an Indian series would be amazing too.
Yeah, I have a lot of Indian friends. And so, yeah, and I've been to India once and good flavors. I remember drinking a lot of lychee juice when I was there. Yeah, so.
So what, Derek, can you give us a preview, Derek, on one of the ingredients you're making in your Filipino series?
Ooh, there is one that I'm making right now. It's called banana jackfruit. Jackfruit is very common in the Philippines, so I'm making a banana jackfruit. I still can't decide if it's going to be a daiquiri or something else. But I already know that it will have a banana jackfruit type of jam with some rum alternative. I'm still figuring out the rest of the ingredients, but that's the one that I'm working on right now.
I'm so excited for that one. Thank you. That's so good.
Me too. Derek, how can our listeners get the Mocktail Club book and the Make It a Mocktail Recipe deck?
Yeah, so it's so convenient. You can just look for the book and the deck on Amazon. They're available there now. You can also get it from Barnes & Noble and wherever you get your books. Some local bookstores also carry them, which makes me so happy. So yeah, and if they don't, ask them if they would carry it. You can also go to my website, mocktailwiz.com, and I linked both the book and the deck there.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Derek. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. It's nice chatting with you both.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this deep dive into the world of non-alcoholic beverages with Derek Santiago, the Mocktail Whiz. Until next time.